Good morning. I want you to know that Jerry asked me earlier if he could introduce my brother. And I said yes. And so he did. And I want you to know that everything Jerry Mullen said about my brother today is true. He spent his lifetime getting me in trouble at home. And I've told you before, I need to tell you this story again because it's one of my favorites. My mother used to make me take him everywhere I went. And one day, went out to the park because I played baseball a lot. And so, went out to the park and we started to play baseball. And my brother thought he was a pitcher. But he couldn't pitch. That's just a fact of life. He couldn't throw the ball across the plate. And so he said, "If I can't pitch, I'm going home." I said, "Go on and go home." So he goes home and he tells Mom. The next thing I know, Mom and John are back out at the park. And I'm going home, and every step of the way on the way home, my mother is whipping me and beating my butt. So I just want you to know that's the kind of brother he was. That's the kind of brother he is. And I guess that's the kind of brother he will always be. Do what? What did he say? Whine all the time. It's not whining if you're telling the truth. So no more out of you. Thank you. But I'm glad that John and his wife Mary are here today. We were able to go up there a few Sundays ago on John's last Sunday as pastor of his church. And so it's good that he's here with us today. So anyway, stand with me as I read the scripture this morning. It's Ephesians chapter 4. And this is just where we'll start. We'll go other places. Ephesians 4, verse 1. "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that I'll be faithful in preaching your word. I thank you for your presence in this place. We know that your word says you inhabit the praise of your people. So God, be free to do in our lives what you choose to do. May we be submissive and obedient. May your word go forth to accomplish everything that you want it to accomplish. And Lord, as we leave this place today, we will give you glory and honor and praise, for you alone are worthy. And we thank you and praise you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Talking about walking with Jesus. You ever think about doing that? Going on a walk with Jesus? I don't know if you have or not, but I have a friend who used to go on a walk with Jesus every night. He'd walk around his farm talking to Jesus and praying. And that was how one of the ways he maintained his life and his walk with God. Several years ago, after a Sunday service, I was, I don't even know what church I was at, but as I'm prone to do sometimes, I was talking to people after the service. And we were outside, and I put my Bible on top of the hood of my car. And after a while, we decided it was time to go, and so I happened to get in the car, and we drove off, and I looked back in my rearview mirror, and there was my Bible bouncing along the ground, and all the notes I had in it were blowing around, and some of the pages were coming out. And I thought, boy, that's swell. So I went back, got my Bible, beat up as it was, and I found the pages, and I put them together, and I took it somewhere to have it rebound. And when I was going to bring it out today, but it's on my desk, but when I got it back, I had a verse engraved on the front of the Bible. And the verse was this, Colossians 2:6. I'm going to add verse 7 today. "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built upon him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." There are times when I need to remind myself that no matter what happens, I need to live in such a way that my life brings glory to God. I need to be cognizant of the fact that every day I need to walk with God. And I choose to do that, just as you can choose to do that. You can also choose not to do that. I'm reminded of the need to walk with Him over and over and over again. And I don't always get it right, but there are times when I need to more than others. The word walk in the Scripture is used to denote a person's way of life, his spiritual character. It is what other people see us, how other people see us living our lives. And you and I both know today that walking with God is not always easy. Sometimes life gets in the way. Sometimes life throws obstacles and hurdles into our life that is they're difficult to navigate. Much of the time, living our lives for Christ is difficult. Sometimes it's extremely difficult. This isn't a walk in the park. When I signed up for this thing with God, I didn't know how hard it was going to be. But He's faithful. And there's some things that can cause us to stumble in our walk. Some things we don't expect. Sickness. You know, somehow when we're younger, we think we're immortal, don't we? We think that nothing is ever going to happen to us, and yet we get sick. And people we love get sick. And there sometimes is no plausible explanation for how that happens. Events that we can't possibly see coming, that we don't anticipate and we can't control, will sometimes cause us to lose focus and start to move away from walking with God. They trip us up. It's kind of like in a fight. You know, somebody hits a guy and he's staggered and he falls back and he may not go down, but he's hurt. And then every once in a while, another guy is punched and he goes to the canvas, and yet somehow he gets off that canvas and continues the fight. And sometimes that's what happens in our life, isn't it? We get hit and we're staggered. We get hit and we're knocked down. But we don't stay there. We get up and we walk with God. That's what we need to do. If we stay down and say, oh, woe is me, and get into that whiny thing, nothing positive will ever happen. But the Holy Spirit lifts us up and gives us strength to continue in our walk with God. One of the things that I know about getting up is the only way you can get up is through faith. The only way you can continue to walk with God is through faith. So my question for us this morning is, do we really trust God to get us through life when it seems like the whole world is crashing down on us? Do we really trust Him? Not just with our lips, because that's not enough. We can trust Him with our lips, but not trust Him with our lives. So the question is, do we trust Him with our lives? Do we trust Him with everything that we have, with everything that we are? Do we trust Him to pick us up and to help us continue on that walk with Him? During those times when you and I need to resolve to walk with God in a deeper way, staying closer to Him than we ever have. I said a minute ago, that requires faith. You're all familiar with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Question is, again, do we trust Him enough? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. John will have it up on the screen, I'm sure. Start in verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Life gets tough. We need to realize that that it's through those difficulties that we can be more conformed to the image of his Son. John chapter 16, verse 33 says this. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So regardless of what's going on in our lives, he says, suck it up. Put your big boy pants on. Because he has overcome the world. And because he has, so can we. There is nothing in our lives that he doesn't know about. There is nothing in our lives that he is not allowed. And so can we trust him as we move through those things? Is he really a God that keeps his promises? I will never leave you nor forsake you nor abandon you. Y'all believe that today? So in whatever situation you find yourself, he is there. You fall down, he picks you up. You trip and he keeps you from stumbling. He is an amazing God. So let me ask you this. We'll talk about this. What does life with Jesus look like? And we're going to use the book of Ephesians, and I'm not going to go verse by verse through this. We're just going to hit some things I want to hit this morning. I just read that one verse in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. To walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Worthy means having worth or excellence. Possessing worth or excellence of qualities. We are to walk in a way that brings glory and honor to God, worthy of him. And the only way I know to do that is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. It's all about allowing the Holy Spirit to have control of us. So the question for me is, do I? Do I on a daily basis walk in the Spirit? If I'm honest with you, I'll tell you there are days that I don't get it done. At least not the way I should. We are called to serve Christ. We are called to represent him in the world. And here's what I promise you. Somebody is watching you as you live your life for Christ. And I've said that over and over and over again. But they especially watch you when they know that you're going through some difficult circumstances in your life. They want to see how you handle them. They want to see if you handling is any different than those who do not proclaim Christ handle them. They want to know, really, if God makes a difference. So the question again this morning, I'm full of questions. Do we live our lives that way? Do we live our lives so that little phrase that we hear over and over again, let others see Jesus in you, do we live our lives that way? Do we live our lives in such a way that they see us glorifying and praising God? Because that's important. No matter what's going on in our lives, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how blindsided we are with life, we need to live our lives in a way that brings glory and honor to God, and that's the bottom line for Christians. Sometimes it's not easy. But what I do know, as the difficulties in life come, God uses them to conform us into the image of his Son. The more we are conformed to the image of Jesus, the more we will walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling with which we've been called. Some things, I'm just going to run through some things quickly and not really dwell on them, but it says we are to bear with one another. Well, I'll go back. Verse 2 says, with all humility. How many of you this morning in here are humble? Raise your hands. John, put yours down because I know that's not true. Because as soon as you raise your hand telling people you are humble, you are not. Humility is the absence of pride, isn't it? I'm still working on it. gentleness with patience. Read a story this week about a kind of a self-righteous guy who went to his pastor and said, "Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray that I'll develop more patience in my life." The pastor looked at him and said, "Are you sure that's what you want?" He said, "Well, yes, please pray for patience in my life." So the pastor began to pray for him right there and said, "God, I pray that you'd bring great tribulation into this man's life." And the man reached out and grabbed the pastor's hand and said, No, I ask you to bring patience into my life." And the pastor said, "You will learn patience through tribulation." Bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. One body, one Spirit. One hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So one of the ways that we can walk with Christ, one of the ways we need to walk with Christ, is to walk in a manner that is worthy of our calling. The only way I know to do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So how much of your life have you given over to the control of the Holy Spirit? Who's really in charge of our lives? How do we order our lives on a daily basis? Is it all about us? Because it can be. And living our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit needs to start as soon as our feet hit the floor. As a matter of fact, maybe before our feet hit the floor, maybe when we open our eyes. Because it's only through the yielding of our lives to the Holy Spirit will we ever be able to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Second thing is found in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They've become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ." Walking an aisle and praying a prayer does not guarantee your salvation. What saves us is believing in the saving work of Christ. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I know people who have professed Christ, and so do you, who after that profession went back and lived exactly the way they were living before. And you talk to them and say, "Oh yeah, I'm saved." Well, what's the evidence of your life? I can tell you that through experience, because there was a time in my life when, through whatever reason, I went backwards. And I was living my life in a way that didn't bring glory to God. And some of the harshest words I ever heard were from my wife, who said, "Tom, I thought I married a Christian." Now, in that time, I always believed that I was saved, because Romans chapter 8 says that his Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. And so I never questioned my salvation, but I began to question the way I lived my life. And if we can be comfortable living our lives the way we did before we were saved, then we may not be saved at all. And it's time to maybe take a good look at whether our profession of faith was real or not. I'm convinced that if you are truly saved, even when you move away, you will hear the voice of God calling you back. If you don't hear that voice, get on your knees and pray. Ask God to save you. Chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We are to live our lives so that we are known by our love. We are to live our lives in such a way as we imitate Jesus. On several occasions, Paul said, "You imitate me as I imitate Christ." Essentially, Paul was saying, follow the leader. Who's leading your life? Who are you following? I remember one night we went down to Better Way, and we did this little exercise, and I asked this one guy, I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be first in line, and I said, you represent Christ. And I said that to everybody, and I don't know if they listened. Evidently, they didn't. And so I said to him, when I tell you to go, you go to your left. And I told the person behind him deliberately to go to the right. So what happened? Who do you think they followed after I told them that the person in the front was following Christ? It was split. It was split. Does that happen in the church? Do we sometimes follow something other than our Lord? Walk in love. I guess the question is, do we really love one another? Do we really care about one another, or is it all about us? We're to love others as Jesus loves us, aren't we? Absolutely, completely, sacrificially. So do we love others that way? Are we willing to sacrifice for other people? Do we consider others to be more important than ourselves? Jesus says in John chapter 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you what? Love one another as I have loved you. Then he goes on to say, by this, all men will know if you're my disciples, that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Jesus gives the whole world the right to judge whether we're really believers or not. I don't know if we think about that on a regular basis, but they will know us by how we love others. We can't pick and choose who we love. That happens even inside the church. Well, I love you because you're like me. I love you because we have kids about the same age, and so we can get along with one another. But I don't love those other people over there. We talk about, what should the church look like on Sunday morning? The church not only full, but the church ought to look like the community, shouldn't it? We ought to have African Americans here. We ought to have Hispanics here. We ought to have Asians here. We ought to have people of every race and creed. That song, I've said this a zillion times, that song that I learned as a little boy in Sunday school is absolutely right. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. And if they're precious in His sight, they ought to be precious in ours. But too often, we spend time judging others by the way they look, by where they live, by where they work, by their economic status. We're real good at judging others, and we're not very good at loving others. Several times, Paul says, you follow me, you imitate me, as I follow Christ. Walk in love. Something else he says in verse 8 of chapter 5. Starting 7. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Walk as children of light. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If we're following Jesus, and He's the light of the world, won't that light reflect upon us? And shouldn't that light reflect to others? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, we are called the light of the world. And light exposes what is in the darkness. I remember when I was a kid, and I know you'll never believe this, but I was afraid of the dark. And my brother John and I shared the same bedroom, and I have to say we did that most of our lives. That's why I began to hate him. But on the way to the bathroom in this one house, there was a dark hallway. And my mom put a nightlight in the hallway. And that light began to expose everything that was in darkness so I could see there was nothing out there that could get me. You ever been in an airplane at night and you look down, you might see one light. Everything else is pitch black. You know, in a world that is dark, we need to be that one light. We need to be the light that people can see. We need to reflect the light of Jesus. We will never be the light, but we ought to be the light that is not hidden under a basket, but is there for everyone to see so that others see Jesus living his life through us. 1 John chapter 1. In verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So if we are in him, should there be any darkness at all in our lives? Absolutely not. If we say we have fellowship with him, and while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Is that plain enough? I want you to know, that's not my opinion. If we say we have fellowship with him, if we say we're walking with Christ, if we say we know the will of God for our lives, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Walk in the light. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 17 says this, "Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Back up a couple of verses in verse 15. It says this, "Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil." My mind has left me. Verse 18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Y'all came in here this morning to sing. Did you come in here to sing with your whole heart? Did you come in here to sing with no distractions? Did you come into this room to praise God regardless of what was happening outside of this room? Because that's what needs to happen. That's when we can contact God in a very, very real and deep way. That's when we come into this place, we realize it's not about us, it's about him. Walk in light. Be careful how you walk. Look for opportunities to serve God. Sometimes I think we ought to plan our day and look for opportunities to serve God. There's another thing we can get from that. Look carefully how you walk. Don't waste your time. Anybody ever do that? Kind of waste your time? I've thought before, anybody in here teach a class in time management? Because we can all learn to manage our time better. We could spend less time doing things that don't matter and more things that do, that make a difference for eternity. Be careful how you walk. Make opportunities. Look for opportunities to serve God. It may be tomorrow in the grocery line, someone walks up behind you and you've been given an opportunity to share your faith. By the way, try this once in a while. I know that when we go to the grocery store or someplace else, we're in a hurry to get out, right? You know, you might buy ice cream, and ice cream melts. So you're in line, and you got all this stuff, or maybe you only have 10 or 15 items, and somebody comes up behind you, and they have one or two. Have you ever thought just for a minute of backing up and say, "You go ahead"? You ever thought about that? Do you think that makes a difference? And I've been able to share the gospel with people because I did that. Was it convenient for me? No, I wanted to get through there. Maybe I had to go home, watch a football game. Maybe my ice cream was melting. Not that I ever eat it. Maybe all this stuff was going on, and I just didn't have time for that. But you look for opportunities. And you continually look for opportunities to allow God to work in your life, so that you can serve Him. Walking with Jesus. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk. Little summary. Walk in a manner that is worthy of your calling. God saved you. I once knew a man that prayed, and he would be asked to pray, and as he prayed, he said, "God, help us to pay you back for what you've given us." Let me tell you this morning, you can't pay God back. He doesn't expect us to pay Him anything. But He does expect us to worship Him. He does expect us to walk in a manner that is worthy of Him. He does expect us to live our lives in such a way that we bring glory and honor to Him. Says, don't walk as the Gentiles do. Don't go back. Continue on with God. Keep on keeping on. The first pastor I had after I was saved was Diane's pastor from the time she was a little girl. And he had this phrase. I've told it to you before, but I think it's appropriate. Bulldogish hang-onativeness. That there are times in your life when you have to hang on like a bulldog would hang on to something. There are a lot of times when a bulldog bites something that you have to break his jaws to get him to release. Bulldoggish hang-onativeness. So no matter what's going on in your life, don't go back. Hold on. Third thing is walk in love. It's not always easy to love other people. Matter of fact, my mom had this way of distinguishing these things. I love you today, but I don't like you at all. Somehow I was trying to figure out how she separated those two things. We need to love one another. The only way we can do that is to love God with everything we are. Allow God's love to flow through us because we're a vessel of that love to others. Esteem others more important than you do yourself. Quit being selfish and self-centered. Focus on God. Walk in love. Being continually conformed to the image of His Son. Walk as children of light. Still, I'm thinking about how light exposes darkness. When I was a little boy, go to the movies. We had a theater in our town. It cost you 20 cents to get in. How much does it cost now? A whole lot more than that, doesn't it? And every once in a while, I'd see these so-called monster movies. And today, they're almost comical. The Blob. The Curse of the Living Dead. The Claw. Creature from the Black Lagoon. Frankenstein. And so I'd be terrified. And in my hometown, there were streetlights on every corner. And I'd get under one streetlight, and I'd look down the road, and I'd run down the middle of the road to the next corner. Because you know, hiding behind those bushes and those trees were monsters. And they were looking for me. And I did that all the way till I got home. And I think that if we don't walk in the light of God, we'll see all these monsters if we're walking in the darkness, things, temptation, other things that will draw us away from God. Walk in the light, and we don't need to be afraid. Last thing is be careful how you walk. There's that other children's song, "Be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful little feet where you go." Careful how you walk. See, I'm convinced we can walk with Jesus. And I'm convinced we can walk with Him every day, regardless of what's happening. And every one of us runs into things that will blindside us, that will feel like we've been knocked in the head from behind and drives us to our knees, but we don't have to stay there. Because the one who made us cares for us. And the one who made us and cares for us died for us. And the one who made us and cares for us and died for us gives us the precious Holy Spirit. Through Him, we can overcome anything in our lives. Do y'all believe that? Walking with Jesus, we can get it done. In the life of the, in the words of the great philosopher, Larry the Cable Guy, get her done. Get her done. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for Your word, how it speaks to our lives, speaks to our hearts.